we do. We work and we grind and we play.
Let's go! Let's go! Bring it up! Bring it up! Bring it up!
After the defense stole the show on Sunday, it was the offense pushing back on day five as the intensity level reaches a boiling point. Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Boyer, joined by Phil Milani. This is the Broncos Training Camp Daily. And Phil, we mentioned it in the open. Today, we knew something was coming. We saw the pads go on yesterday. Today, we finally got our first skirmish.
Yeah, and you know what? Head coach Vance Joseph said that he was okay with what happened today, but he doesn't want to make a habit out of it. Pretty much what happened was Stephen Ridley heading out of bounds. He tried to give a stiff arm to Zaire Anderson. Zaire Anderson only knows how to play at one speed. He brings that intensity every day, kind of pushed Stephen Ridley out of bounds, and then some of the offensive linemen came over. Coach said he likes it when his offensive linemen can step up for some of the offensive players. And, you know, typically in camp you see a couple of these skirmishes, but that's after a couple of days where they've just been hitting each other. This was just day two, and it's nice to see the offense in particular. You know, these defensive guys have so much swagger.
Right.
Nice to see the offense kind of say, hey, we got to stand up for ourselves too.
Coach Joseph loves that intensity. He loves that swagger. But what he wants to see is controlled intensity.
When you see your offensive line defend your running back, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, you kind of enjoy seeing that because you want to build toughness. You want to build guys being tight, take care of their teammates. But obviously, you know, you can't fight in games, and that's the part from my cheer you can't allow. You know, you can't build habits of fighting.
It's competition, man. It's good competition. There's some big boys up front that are aggressive and a defense that's figuring it out. So, I mean, it's first 2 days in pads, you're going to have that. And if you didn't, it wouldn't be a good football team. So we got to tone it down and, you know, love on each other a little bit. But at the same time, you know, we're going to bang it out when it's time.
And, you know, we're a team, and that's how we always going to be. We're going to be a family, but, you know, family fights. You know, brothers and sisters fight all the time, and that's what happens out here sometimes. Sometimes your aggression gets the better of you, other. But, you know, Coach Joseph does such a great job of bringing us close together, bringing us where we need to be, and saying, you know what, you guys are a family. And that's really what we are.
So a little family dust-up,
that's all it was.
That's all
not
it was.
A big deal.
Moving on.
Keep it out on the field.
Absolutely. Speaking of family, today we heard from special teams coach Brock Olivo. It sounded like he was about to adopt Andy Janovich because
yes,
of how much love he has for this guy. Where does Janovich factor in as far as Olivo goes?
I love Janovich.
Yeah, I know.
Janovich, I mean, the guy just plays with so much intensity all the time. And, you know, the big question mark is, how does a fullback fit in with Mike McCoy's offense? We saw the Broncos play a little bit of I formation there today, but I don't think – and McCoy likes to run a little bit of power in the run game, but I'm not sure how much he can use the fullback in his traditional sense. But I think that Andy Janovich is the kind of player where you can use him in the backfield a variety of ways. He can catch the ball really well. And if he can find a spot where he gets a few touches at least on offense, then he can find a role on special teams and earn a way onto this team. Because as we heard today, Olivo said Janovich could be a heck of a special teams player.
A very versatile, big back, Andy Janovich. Right. Definitely the face mask thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember last year he went through like five face masks in five games.
The equipment staff was having a hard time keeping those face masks
in
stock. But definitely going to see Andy Janovich on the field, and especially on special teams, because if it were up to Brock Olivo and he was starting a team, he'd be picking Andy Janovich first, it sounds like.
Jano. Jano to me, my. If we had 22 Janos, we would be all right. He's tough. He never says a word, never complains. He just does his job. And he's the first one in the meeting every day. He's on it, X's and O's wise. He knows what to do. He's tough. He finishes. I love the guys, you can tell. Okay, I love him.
So Coach Brock Olivo, very enthusiastic about Andy Janovich and special teams. Our Broncos insider Steve Atwater joining us now. And Steve, you are no stranger to special teams either, even though you were a first-round pick.
Yeah, absolutely. As a first-round pick, they said, hey, we're going to reward you by putting you on the kickoff team and the punt team. And I had a blast doing it. as you know, the great future Hall of Famer Terrell Davis. He played the kickoff team and special teams. And to be honest with you, that may be the only way that some guys can make it onto a ball club.
Let's get to Atwater's A-list for today. Now, these are the best players from practice, guys that caught Steve's eye today. And, Steve, we start with the offensive side of the football.
On the offensive side of the football today, on Atwater's A-list is Steven Ridley. He's a running back acquired within the last few days. He's shown bursts of speed throughout his time being here. I've seen him do a jump cut. I've seen him run hard down in goal line situations. He just, you know, stood out on the camera to me.
He has made an impact. We mentioned him earlier on, involved in that little skirmish today at practice. Steven Ridley met with the media afterwards and said he's not afraid to mix it up or make an impact right away.
Every day is competition. So some days the defense is going to get us. Some days, you know, the offense is going to win. So, you know, that's the beauty in having pads on. You know, everybody flies around as long as there's no pads and contact going on. So you get to see, you know, where everybody stands, where your men are, where your boys are, you know. So it's lessons for both sides, and we're going to take it and grow from it.
All right, that takes care of the offensive side of Atwater's A-list. Steve, to your forte, the defense, who do we got?
Today on Atwater's A-List, we have Corey Nelson, inside linebacker. Now, as we know, both Todd Davis and Brandon Marshall are our starters on the inside. They've been playing extremely well, but Corey Nelson stood out. He had a nice interception today, several pass breakups, and he's really been doing a good job on special teams as well.
You're no stranger to intercepting a couple of these passes out here, are you, during training
camp? Oh, that's one of the funnest things about playing on the defensive side of the ball, getting an interception.
If you want to hear more from Steve this week, he'll be on the radio all week long, Orange and Blue Radio, 1 to 3 p.m. That is 760 on your AM dial or the iHeart Radio app. Steve is one of the many friendly faces that we see around Broncos camp day in and day out. A guy we don't see a lot of, though, is NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Our own Phil Milani caught up with Ian as he visited camp this week, and we also talked to Ian about his whirlwind tour over 10 camps he's going to visit this preseason.
What do you feel like the expectations are for this team? They made a lot of changes over the offseason, including at the head coach position. Where do you feel like they are in terms of just the AFC West and the whole NFL overall?
Well, you know, if you look nationally and you kind of take a look at some of the other teams in the division, it seems like not a lot of people are talking about the Broncos, which I know is fine for people here. I mean, who cares? You don't sort of need the outsized expectations, but it certainly seems like the Raiders are getting a lot of the early preseason love. And they should. The Raiders, I think, are going to be really good. But this team is going to be good. You know, it's a rare situation where you have a new head coach who comes in with a new staff and a really good team with a lot of talent. You know, obviously everyone's talking about the quarterback situation and probably some of the attention or lack of attention is because that's not settled. But this defense is nasty. Talent-wise, it's a really, really good roster. I think the coaches they brought in are great. So, you know, to me, this looks like a playoff team. I know there's been some injuries early, but that's what it looks like to me.
We're just 4 days into camp. Where do you feel like they are with the quarterback situation?
I think they're okay. It obviously hasn't sorted itself out yet. And, you know, you're seeing some flashes of good things. You're probably seeing too many turnovers, which is, you know, it sounds like happening around the league everywhere. But, you know, it's kind of where I thought it would be. You know, you have, you know, Trevor's obviously done it. Paxton, you know, maybe a little bit of a higher ceiling, maybe makes a few more mistakes, but it's the kind of thing that's going to sort itself out. And that's one, you know, interesting thing about the quarterback situations all over. It's, you know, we'll ask Vance, we'll say, oh, you know, when are you going to decide on the quarterback and when, you know, who's going to make the call? But the reality is it's obvious. Nobody's going to make the call. Players are going to know. Everyone's going to know who the starting quarterback is and looks like. And whenever that happens, that's when the decision is going to be announced. It's not going to be made because basically it's made when the guys in the locker room know, all right, this is our guy, let's go.
Shane Ray went down with the wrist injury, out 6 to 8 weeks, and they already had Shaq Barrett injured. You hearing anything? They might go outside, try to replace him?
You know, I don't think so. And honestly, like, I'm not even sure who's out there who will come in and generate pass rush and deliver some sacks right now. I mean, you got some guys with experience, guys like Dwight Freeney, but I don't see him going in that direction. I'd see more things like, you know, you take Walker, Florida State, you move him to linebacker, and, you know, he's a bigger dude. It's whatever. But maybe he can generate a little rush. You know, he's a good athlete. I mean, I would see more things like that until, look, like week one or two, maybe three, then you get everyone back. I mean, there's been some injuries, some high-profile ones. But everyone's going to have injuries. It's just kind of nice you have them during the month when there's no games.
training camp is such a grind for these guys out here. Obviously for you too, your phone's blowing up. You're going to 16 camps. How do you survive it?
It's as long as I get to the airport on time, then I'm fine. I really like this time. I mean, you know, it's tough to go away from the family for a couple of weeks. That's hard. But it's a rare time to, you know, look people in the eye, get a close-up look at some of these teams we talk about all year, get some insight from some of these guys. It's really a special experience, and every year I look forward to it.
All right, well, good luck the rest of the way. Ian, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Our thanks to Ian Rappaport for taking some time, Ian making his rounds to a ton of different training camps. Our own Andrew Mason, though, all day, all the time, right here at the UC Health Training Center. Mace, thanks for taking some time with us again. And mm-hmm. we've been talking position battles all camp long. Today, the specialists are getting some love.
Yeah, the kickoff returners in particular. And the punt return is going to be interesting as well, but kickoff return is wide open. And you start with Cody Latimer and Carlos Henderson. Let's go to Cody Latimer first because he's the veteran there. You know, big build, long stride, can get a lot of yards in a hurry, and I think has really responded to the challenge brought by some of these new receivers that were brought in via the draft this year. He's looked pretty good out there. Carlos Henderson, third-round pick. Wouldn't surprise me if he gets the job at some point. You can see he's kind of swimming in the deep end the way things are going in camp, but very long stride, and he's done some good things in the last couple of days. It looks like the job's not too big for him. You're also seeing guys like Brendan Langley, D'Angelo Henderson. They're getting some opportunities. Don't sleep on Hunter Sharp, who had good work during OTAs and is getting a few kickoff return reps here and there. Khalif Raymond handled some work there last year. And even Isaiah McKenzie. Now, he doesn't really have the body type for kickoff returns. He's going to be more of a punt returner, but you know, maybe he could factor in there at some point. But the Broncos have a lot of options there and a lot of quality. Plenty to talk about that position.
You mentioned it, a lot of options for special teams coach Brock Olivo at that kickoff return spot. On punt returns, though, he thinks Isaiah McKenzie could be one of the best in the AFC West.
He wants the ball in his hands, and he likes the fact that there is a Tyreek Hill in our division, a guy that he can, you know, strive to be as good as or better someday. I mean, that's the kind of kid he is. I know he's thinking that in his head because he's very confident. I love that about him.
All right, we move now from special teams to the offense, more specifically Mace, the quarterback battle. What did you see today from Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian?
Well, it was a good bounce-back day in general for both of them. Trevor Siemian, nice work out there. Good job on a post route to Marlon Brown, 40-yard connection. Good to see him execute the play fake and go deep. And really a good job running the offense in the no huddle. Paxton Lynch had some good moments, plenty of zip on passes they was throwing outside the numbers. You like seeing that. But on the negative side, back-to-back interceptions in the red zone in a 7-on-7 period. And given what Vance Joseph has said about avoiding turnovers in the red zone, that wasn't good for him.
Mace, I know the no-huddle, it seems like you've been in the no-huddle going from spot to spot to spot all around the UC Health Training Center, so we appreciate you being on the show. And if you want to catch more of Mace on the radio, be sure to tune in to Orange and Blue Radio, 760 on your AM dial, 3 to 7. Mace will be on the iHeartRadio app as well. So again, Inside the Broncos, 3 to 7, Orange and Blue Radio, and the iHeartRadio app. Another great sight out here at training camp today, day 5, the USAA NFL boot camp. Over around 50 members of the Army, Air Force, and Navy were able to take part in some football drills. It looked like the NFL combine out there at the Pat Bowlen Fieldhouse. These fine servicemen and women were also able to watch practice, had a great time, and were also able to meet head coach Vance Joseph and a couple of our players. We really appreciate their service and everything they do for us. So thank you to those fine young men and women. Back now on the desk, though, with Phil Milani. And Phil, tomorrow's an off day. We're done.
Yeah, exactly.
but in all seriousness, it's going to be very busy for Coach Vance Joseph and the personnel department as they look ahead to week 2.
Yeah, you know, training camp is all about keeping your players healthy and also evaluating the roster. The Broncos have had a couple of injuries so far throughout camp, so a good rest day to get everybody back on the same page. And then that also gives VJ and John Elway and all the front office guys a chance to really evaluate what's taken place over the first 5 days, see where the roster is stacking up, and see where if they need to look elsewhere, if they need to bring in some guys at the end of camp or whatever the case may be. It's just a chance for everybody to catch up on work that they're behind right now.
With the off day, that means we will be back on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And Phil, before we go, though, you had a chance to mic up Chris Harris Jr.
Yeah, I mean, Chris is just, what can you say about Chris Harris Jr.? I mean, Pro Football Focus, always the one of the top-rated cornerbacks in the league, and each year he finds a way to try and get even a little bit better, whether it's his footwork, film study, and you can see it just, I had a chance to follow him around practice all day today. You could just tell his attention to detail. He had one catch on, Emmanuel Sanders had one catch on him, and it was bugging him the rest of practice. So you could tell that he's so focused on what he's doing, and it was pretty cool to see practice through his eyes.
Phil got some great shots. We're going to leave you with those now. For Phil Milani, I'm Matt Boyer. Thank you very much for joining us for this Broncos Training Camp Daily.
Let's go, baby!
Let's go, baby.
We'll go fight.
Make a play? You gotta make a play, man. Let's go, man.
1, 2, 3.
Ball out. You was falling too? Bro, you got strapped.
He ran that little, you know, he act like he run a 7 corner. Look, I'm sitting right on the 7.
DT!
Hey, man.
DT, where y'all going? I get DT. Go right now, DT. That's fire out. Yeah, I'm not tripping about that.
When y'all got somebody to the flat like that, keep your eyes on him. You see how he looked back that he had him? Nah, keep your eyes on him. He gonna go up. He always go up on the wheel.
That was a 2-yard catch.
We didn't really give up nothing though, bro. If you think about it today, I don't know. Did you go undefeated? Then you won your day. You won your competition. TJ said ball inside, man. I can turn back this way and look.
Hey, man.